Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Today, more than you ever thought you could learn about Halloween and its traditions. According to legend, what's the best way to meet a witch?
Match.com.
Did you hear that? Go to my mother-in-law's house. From an anonymous person in the audience, yes. On this night of terror, we'll take time to confront some of our most primal fears.
I'm always afraid, you know, when I get a bouillon cube that I'm going to accidentally swallow the whole thing.
That bouillon cube thing keeps me up at night, too. The party starts shortly. Be ready to join the games.
Bobbing for love.
Bobbing for love.
In all the wrong places.
The horror begins after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. President Obama and Bill Clinton hit the campaign trail together in Bristow, Virginia, Saturday night. The former president vouched for Mr. Obama's economic agenda, saying he had done a good job with a bad hand.
By ending the war in Iraq, by bringing our troops home from Afghanistan, by fighting terror, modernizing the military, and aggressively pursuing diplomacy to make a world with more friends and fewer adversaries.
The joint rally drew more than 24,000 people to an outdoor arena. The two are campaigning together again this morning in New Hampshire. Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney is spending the day in Iowa, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
At nearly every campaign stop this weekend, Romney refers to the end of a long road. He and his wife Anne have appeared emotional on stage, and among the staff, a sense of nostalgia has begun to trump exhaustion. Last night in Denver, Romney spoke to a roaring crowd of 17,000 people at an outdoor amphitheater.
The door to a brighter future is there. It's open, waiting for us. I need your vote. I need your work. I need your help. Walk with me. Let's walk together. Let's start anew.
This rally took an unexpected turn. Romney often tells the story of a scout troop whose American flag was recovered from the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion. Last night, the scoutmaster walked on stage carrying that flag. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, traveling with the Romney campaign.
As much of Lower Manhattan returns to normal after Hurricane Sandy, residents in New York City's outer boroughs are still struggling. As NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports, their new concern is security.
130th Street in Rockaway, Queens is littered with furniture piles and great mounds of sand. A man in a sweatshirt waves down an official vehicle, and he says at night his neighborhood is scary.
I had to come back three times last night. We forgot things, money, we were so disoriented. And there's nobody. Yeah. There's nobody. One or two cops, that's it.
There's no question that 1 week after the storm, the New York Police Department is stretched thin. Officers are manning checkpoints into neighborhoods without power. They're standing at intersections where there are no stoplights, and they're even managing lines at gas stations. That doesn't leave many policemen to patrol darkened neighborhoods. That said, the NYPD maintains that there's been no spike in crime since the storm. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News, New York.
New York City school children are preparing to go back to the classroom tomorrow, a week after Hurricane Sandy crippled the city. Some city schools are being used as shelters. 1,700 public schools will reopen on Monday. 57 schools with structural damage will remain closed. This is NPR News. Several hundred people marched in Northeast Portland in a protest rally that led to a clash with police who used pepper spray. Police say they reacted after a few of the demonstrators used wooden shields to confront officers. Police say organizers did not have a permit and did not respond to requests to discuss the march, which organizers say was planned as an election message against funding cuts to social and public services. Finance ministers and central bank chiefs from the group of 20 nations begin 2 days of meetings today in Mexico City. Steve Beckner of Market News International reports.
The U.S. would like to persuade Europe to solve its debt problems and pressure China to lower its trade surplus by letting its currency rise against the dollar and encouraging consumer spending. But it's sure to get heat, too, particularly for its fiscal cliff. If steps aren't taken to avert them, impending tax hikes and spending cuts could push the U.S. back into recession, and other G20 nations fear the ripple effects on their economies. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke could take criticism for quantitative easing policies, which countries like Brazil allege are causing inflation. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner in Mexico City.
The New York Giants and Pittsburgh Steelers will play their football game in East Rutherford, New Jersey, as recovery efforts continue following Hurricane Sandy. But the New York City Marathon, also scheduled for today, has been canceled. Runners say they understand why it was called off, but they also say they wish they knew earlier before they came to New York City. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Charles Schwab, providing financial guidance on how to go from saving for retirement to living in retirement. Charles Schwab. Talk to Chuck. Schwab.com.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
It's close to midnight, something evil's lurking in the dark.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
From the Rose King Theater on the campus of Milton Academy in Milton, Massachusetts, welcome to a frightening Halloween exhibition of Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's one scary dude. He's one ghoulish guy, no stranger to spirits, Mr. Barry Nolan. She's not superstitious, won't fall for that kid stuff. Cross her heart and hope to die. Francine Akbar. And even though he's an extra large force in the spirit world, he prefers to act as a medium. Mr. Tony Khan. And who's the captain this week?
The guy clutching the cup over there.
Communing with my spirit.
I see. Mr. Nolan. Well, Captain. To my left, team two. He's not the type that scares easy. He's the type that scares permanently. Arnie Reisman. She works all year planning tricks for this evening, and that's the prank she gets. Carolyn Faye Fox. And don't be fooled. She'll decorate like nobody's business, make the place warm and welcoming, and then hide in the bushes with a water cannon. Miss Paula Lyons. And who's the captain?
The one with the water cannon.
Yeah.
Miss Lyons.
Miss Lyons. Well, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what is right at your right on the table?
A lion.
Is that for me, Ben?
Yes.
Where did you find this?
Who's missing a doorstop?
A lion from his lions. Thank you. Love that.
This gives me a chance to thank our scorekeepers for today. That is Mr. Marcel Oliart and, of course, Says You's own Benjamin Schur. Thank you very much for keeping the score. Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. It's All Hallows Eve. It's Samhain. It's the Feast of the Dead. I'll have 250 kids at my door again this year. We love Halloween, mostly for the humor. So for 10 points, please have fun with the following fact checks about Halloween. Carolyn, what's the traditional reason for jack-o'-lanterns anyway?
What's the traditional reason for jack-o'-lanterns,
yep.
Arnie? To light the way for small children.
Is it to ward off ghosts and goblins?
It is, in fact, to ward off ghosts and goblins. Well, yeah, but why a candle, per se? Why would that be? In other words, the jack-o'-lantern, the traditional jack-o'-lantern is the old candle inside the pumpkin.
Yeah.
Why did they do it that way?
It's too hard to rig up a strobe inside there.
Very hard.
There's not enough room for a disco ball.
Right.
That's true. You've got a lot of points.
Is fire a perceived threat to a ghost or a goblin?
Yeah, like
to Dracula or...
No, it's not a threat.
An attractor?
It attracts them like moths to a flame.
No, it is. Actually, you were right the first time. It is believed that light scared away evil spirits. So that was the reason for putting a light there. There's a specific reason for putting a candle there.
Because it flickers.
Yeah, that's to the point. But
so, because the light varies, and it seems to be a living kind of light.
It's the varying of the light that's important here. Does anyone know from the other side?
Doesn't it represent the spirit, the lambent, flickering spirit?
No.
This is about a Celtic tale involving this guy whose name was Jack.
Well, that's true, and we know
that's... And roaming the land with a turnip. With a candle in light.
That's true.
That we know.
Right. The original jack-o'-lanterns were. But does anyone know why the candle flame is still important in the jack-o'-lantern legend?
Because it is a finite source of light and ends at dawn?
No, it's about the color. About the color. I'm going to give you guys 8 points because you did know that the light scares away the evil spirits. Candlelight in particular is important because if the flame burns blue... Spirits are close by.
Oh.
So that's how you know if the candle is... Oh, anew.
Is everybody writing this down?
Yeah.
in your wolf stove?
Really?
Blue?
Yeah, if it burns...
You don't get a lot of blue candle flames.
Well, if there's blue, you better duck.
Natural gas is blue.
If it burns blue, spirits are close by.
Okay.
Very good. 8 points for that. Try this one, Tony. My bet is that you don't even know how to spell Halloween. Prove me wrong.
Why should I?
It's a good question,
why should I? If you don't know yourself by now, Richard, and you have it written on a piece of paper, why are you asking me? Hallow comes from... Ween is W-E-E-N. Let's work backwards. And it's obviously a question of whether it's one L or two, right?
Nope.
Oh, is there an apostrophe hanging around in there?
There sure is.
Hallow.
E-E-apostrophe-E-N.
There you go. That's exactly right. You proved me wrong. It is Hallowe-apostrophe-E-N is the actual correct spelling.
All Hallow Evening.
Yeah, and because why?
Because it's a shortening of evening.
Evening. That's exactly right. You're leaving the V.
And also because the apostrophe represented the spirit. it had gotten itself lost.
Only if it was
the beginning
blue.
Of the word.
I suppose.
In the blue flame.
Try this one, Arnie. What are some sights you might look for in daylight to tell you that someone might be a werewolf?
Sights in daylight. I would look where the wolfbane blooms.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
I don't know. That's an interesting... It's not what I had. I mean, if you're looking at someone in daylight, what might be some telltale signs of their werewolfness?
Carrying a bottle of Nair.
I think...
Well, if you shook hands, wouldn't you have hairy palms?
That's exactly right. That's one.
All right.
There would be hair on the palms is one. Can you give me any others?
Does it have to do with the eyes?
It, in a way, yes.
Does it have to do with the shape of the pupil in the eye?
No, not the shape of the pupil.
Okay, the color of the eye.
No, nothing like that.
It's not the color.
Okay.
No. It's not the widow's peak, is it?
Well,
is it?
Oh, the widow's peak. No, isn't that Dracula or something?
Yeah, that's Dracula.
Oh, a unibrow?
A unibrow is exactly
a
right.
A unibrow. All
that's
right.
Two.
How many more have we got to go here?
Tony, leaving the stage.
It was always my childhood ambition to be a werewolf. I almost made it.
I got to tell you, Tony, that was a move for radio. That was, really that was a great move for radio. That is true. The unibrow, the hair on the palms is one of the real telltale signs.
It's one of the real telltale signs.
I'm going to give you...
That tail sticking out of the back pocket.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give him the 10 points anyway, but does anybody know the last sign?
Ears?
No.
Is it
a very low forehead or something like that?
No, it's not that. Does anyone in the audience know?
Fangs.
Canine teeth.
No. That's exactly right. From the audience, an extremely long middle finger.
With which to express the emotion, I don't care if I'm a werewolf. I don't care if I have hairy palms.
I'm a werewolf, what of it?
Yeah.
You know. Francine, I really like this question. This will be fun. Apples play a major role in Halloween tradition and superstition. What is the one common thread to all these preternatural beliefs about apples at Halloween? Paula's nodding her head.
I think it's about harvest and sacrifice and things of that sort.
Well, that's more toward the origins, but the superstition that has arisen above it. There are three distinct superstitions around these things, and they all center around one thing. Can you imagine what that might be?
Anything to do with Garden of Eden?
Well,
the fall?
Only in a very odd sense, but not really.
Apples? I'm looking at my teammates.
Well, apple, I believe, is spelled A-P apostrophe P. L-E, isn't it?
As in application.
Yeah.
Anyone, can anyone think of...
Is it poison? Is it considered to be poison?
No, it is not considered to be poison. This is a good thing. This is a real good thing.
The apple wards off something.
It does not ward off anything. It reveals something.
If you give an apple...
Yes. This will be good. Don't interrupt.
If you give an apple...
Yes.
To
a
disguised bad thing.
Yeah.
It wards off the evil spirit.
The bad thing will choke on it.
No,
that's what gave rise to the kids hopefully giving things to teachers.
I'm actually going to give him points for that answer. Do you believe that?
Was this about appeasing the spirits?
It is not. I'm going to give you 4 points for...
But it's a test. If you give an apple to a thing that seems to be disguised as a normal human...
It is not a test at all. Does the other side have any thoughts?
Would it have something to do with cutting into the apple and seeing the pattern of the seeds in the core?
Is it the heart shape of the fruit?
Well, the heart shape is to the heart of the matter.
It is the heart. You're giving your heart to someone.
Oh, you sure are, and you're getting real close now.
It's a sign of love.
It's
bobbing for love.
Bobbing for love.
In all the wrong places.
You're very... Anyone in the audience know what the main theme is here? That is exactly right from the... Boy, this audience is a little scary. This is kind of a scary audience, but it is all about your future husband.
Oh, that's right.
And having the future husband revealed. If you put an apple under your pillow, you'll dream of him. If you peel an apple in one strand and then throw it over your shoulder, it'll form his initial. And if you eat a sliced apple in front of a candle-lit mirror, he will be seen over your shoulder.
Right.
Wow.
The apple lobby was...
Yes.
Really an overdrive when they came up with that.
If
then
you
they
see all three, you're guilty of trigamy.
And that's it, Bobby. Eating a sliced apple in front of a candle-lit mirror, I don't know. All right, Paula. Here you go.
I'm what still is... writing all those down. I want to remember
yes,
those.
Yes, that's right.
In case you're looking for another husband.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
Paula, in what is fast becoming a dastardly Halloween tradition, 41% of all adults do this on Halloween, and 90% of them do it November 1st. Do what?
Shut off all the lights and pretend not to be home.
I didn't know the percentage was that high, but 41% of all adults do this on Halloween, and 90% of them do it November 1st. Do what?
Eat candy.
Eat whose candy?
Eat their kids' candy.
Kids' candy.
That's exactly right. 90% of all adults in this country actually steal candy from
that
children.
That explains it.
Like taking candy?
All right, and Barry, let's cap this off. Where does the whole costume thing come from anyway?
Costume rental stores.
Pretty much.
The idea was originally that you didn't want your neighbors to know exactly who you were when you went and you said trick or treat, right?
No, not really. It's not your neighbors you're worried about.
Oh, you didn't want the good
spirits. No, the evil spirits. Go for the evil spirits.
To know exactly who you were.
Right.
So you disguised yourself as the sexy airline steward.
10 points. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. The ancient Celts thought that spirits and ghosts roamed the countryside on Halloween night. They began wearing masks and costumes to avoid being recognized as humans. Because you wouldn't want to be a human in a pile of spirits. This would be bad. So that's how that happened. Okay, I'm going to throw out a bonus question here.
Oh.
10 points to anybody who knows the answer to this question. According to legend, what's the best way to meet a witch?
Match.com.
Yeah, Wiccan.com.
Wiccan.com, yeah.
Sober.
Sober. Yes, I'd agree. I definitely agree.
The best way to meet a witch.
Act like a cat. No. Well, anyone know best way to meet a witch?
You're supposed to put out something for them, right?
Best
and track them. Is that it?
No. Anyone know in the audience?
Well, I'll be damned. How's that?
All right. Anyone know in the audience?
Put a dustpan on your porch.
Oh, wow.
What?
Did you hear that? Go to my mother-in-law's house. From an anonymous person in the audience, yes. Here it
How
is.
How much will you take to edit that out?
Yeah, that's true. You know what you do? You put your clothes on inside out and walk backward on Halloween night.
Oh.
That's how you meet a witch. No points awarded, but who cares?
So your sober thing was wrong.
Yeah. That was great. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Hyannis Sound. Nice to have you here today, guys. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points up for grabs to Barry if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he cannot. A few seconds, musically enhanced, to come up with a definition for the word
écorché.
E-C-O-R-C-H-E. Écorché. Gentlemen?
Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed. So I set my sights on Monday, and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree there's times when a woman sure can be a friend of mine.
and I can't stop thinking about you. Sister Golden Hair Surprise, and I just can't live without you. Can't you see it in my eyes? I've been one poor correspondent. I've been too hard to find. But that doesn't mean you ain't been on my mind. Will you meet me in the middle? Will you meet me in the air? Will you love me just a little? Just enough to show you care? Well, I tried to fake it. I don't mind saying I just can't make it.
Just a quick reminder, coming up this fall, Says You heads to Syracuse, New York, November 16th and 17th, for live performances of the show. Tickets, information, and details for all Says You tapings are available at saysyou.net. And this holiday season, we're proud to announce the publication of our second book, Says Us, The Scripts and Quips of Says You, Volume 2. It's the consummate travel companion, a thoughtful gift. Everything to make the winter shorter and more fun at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU.
Will you meet me in the middle? Will you meet me in the air? Will you love
Says You returns after this from home. Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net.
That was the Hyannis Sound. That's the voices of Phil Landry, Brian O'Shaughnessy, Rob Powers, Tim Bongiovanni, Kevin Pigeon, and Jeff Ames. Thank you very much, guys, for giving us a little time. You can find out more information about any of the groups that play on Says You by going to our webpage, go to the Frequently Asked Questions section, and look up who played that music I heard last week. Thanks very much, guys, for giving us a little time with the word écorché. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Écorché. Put me in mind at first of a scorching hot French jack-o'-lantern. But it's not. An écorché is sort of a fully peeled zombie. Imagine an anatomical figure without skin designed to show off the bones and the muscles. That is an écorché.
Oh, like that exhibition at the Science Museum.
Mm. Yes, an anatomical figure with no skin.
But plenty of style.
That is an écorché, quite possibly. Or Arnie? Could be something else.
Well, you know, when you go like to a natural history museum and they have these dioramas of, you know, cavemen and dinosaurs, it's the three-dimensional topographical. I'll get the word out. Topographical map.
Yes.
That shows all the waterways, mountains, valleys.
That was a topographical error.
That was a topographical error. It's a three-dimensional topographical map.
Three-dimensional topographical map.
Showing mountains, valleys,
mountains, rivers, the whole nine yards.
Yes, the football field.
Sounds possible. Or, Paula, yet another alternative.
An écorché is actually a benign sprite or spirit that lives in mountain crevasses and is believed to be good luck for mountaineers.
A benign spirit or a benign sprite that is found in mountain crevasses. You see an écorché, things are looking up.
That's right. Apparently.
Well, that's a possibility. It could either be that, the three-dimensional topographical The three-dimensional, that's easy for you to say.
Exactly.
The three-dimensional topographical representation or the anatomical figure with absolutely no skin. It's one of those three, and the choice, Barry, is yours.
Panelists?
Well, here's my total take on it. It involves no thinking whatsoever. Écorché reminds me of paper mâché. Now, mâché probably means chewed up, right? Paper that's all chewed up and gummed up. So it wouldn't really explain what écorché meant. So so I disqualified that one.
Yeah. Thanks for the help, Tony. Francine.
I have another theory. I think it's an adjective because...
Étouffée...
You know, things in French that end like that
but
are typically...
But what about touché? That's not an adjective.
Étouffée isn't
an adjective. I'll tell you what I think. I'm just going to go down this road because I think it means something that has been skinned.
Oh, okay.
I like the fully peeled zombie. I think it's... if it's not an écorché for Halloween, let's make it one.
I've never heard this about a topographical map, although I could be wrong. I don't spend
that.
A lot of time in that arena.
I thought that was inventive, but I like the
and
zombie.
And I'm not buying them. I'm not sure about that.
Well, I love your reasoning.
So we've got two votes for zombies.
Okay.
Skinless.
And Tony, we have no idea what he's talking about.
But I have to say that this is a hypothesis. I'm not assertively certain like I sometimes am.
All right. Tony, you want to vote?
Nah.
All right. Okay, Richard, we'll go with zombie just in the spirit of Halloween.
In the spirit of Halloween, Carolyn, they think that an écorché is an anatomical figure with no skin. Is that in fact what it is?
Écorché, an anatomical figure with no skin showing the bones and muscles.
10 points. For Barry's team.
You know that exhibition that was at the Science Museum and it's been all over the country of all those bodies with no skin?
Yes.
Those are écorchés.
Those are écorchés?
That would have been a good title.
Yeah.
Let's go on to round three. On this day, a caution to be afraid. Be very afraid. Using your linguistic skills and intuition, please tell me what I most dread if I suffer from the following phobias. I can give you a hint as requested at the cost of 3 points.
Okay.
An example, if I suffer from Wiccaphobia.
Fear of witches.
Fear of witches and witchcraft. So you know where we're going.
I thought it was fear of made-up entries in an encyclopedia.
It should be.
We should all be very afraid, yes. Try this one, Carolyn.
Okay.
Glossophobia.
Well, that would be fear of reading?
Or not
fear
reading.
Of speaking? Fear of speaking.
Not only fear of speaking, but...
language.
Public speaking. Fear of speaking... Fear of
dictionaries, fear of definitions.
Fear of speaking is exactly right. But
fear of dialogue? Well, if it's exactly right, then why do you want more?
Fear of talking.
What more are we going for?
You know, she has a point. 10 points. But I'm going to go to Ms. Akbar for a clarification.
Public speaking.
Fear of public
speaking.
Speaking is where you want to go. And yes?
It's the number one, when people do surveys of what do people fear most,
yes.
That is the number one thing most often cited by people.
Yes. That's true. Speaking
not
in public.
Not if they come to me.
Or telling us.
Try this one, Tony. Ergophobia. E-R-G-O. Oh, phobia.
Not a fear of making conclusions?
No.
No.
Ergophobia.
No. Ergophobia. Fear of using Latin inappropriately.
Fear of their...
Fear of there's only a few can do.
Is ergot, does it come from the ergot plant?
Ergonomics.
Motion.
Fear of being comfortable.
Fear of being comfortable. No, yeah. It's not fear of being comfortable.
Work.
Fear of work.
Fear of work.
Is what
Thank
it
you.
Is. Yes, fear of work. The clue, of course, was going to be a Denver dilemma.
Oh.
That being
okay.
Bob Denver and...
Manager Krabs.
Oh.
Work.
Work.
Yeah. Okay.
So is the erg of energy have the same erg?
Yes.
You know, and they say, okay.
It is the same. Now, try this one, Arnie. I hope I'm pronouncing this right.
Oh, good. Spell it.
Yeah, I am going to spell it. But you'll probably need the hint for this, but let's try it. What might you fear the most if you suffer gypheriophobia? G-E-P-H-Y. Gypherophobia. R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A. Gypheriophobia.
Gypherophobia.
How about fear of winning far-flung wars?
What an excellent guess, though.
Pyrrhic.
Gypherophobia.
Gypherophobia.
And you probably will need the hint for this.
Yeah,
I love finding this one out. Gypherophobia.
Yeah,
and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Jeff,
what is the hint?
The hint is makes for a wilder crossing.
Makes for a wilder crossing.
Yes. How does it
what is it?
Fear of traffic lights?
Fear of not getting sick on a boat? What?
Fear of traffic lights? Fear of crossing guards?
Well, it's fear of crossing something.
Fear of crossing oceans.
Gorges.
Borders. Fear of crossing borders? Fear of crossing.
Hello? Fear of crossing.
It is about crossings, all right.
Crossings.
Crossing a bridge?
Crossing a bridge is exactly
fear
right.
Fear of crossing a bridge. Oh, yeah, that's so good. Common.
Fear of...
It is, though. So. I hear about that a lot.
You're going to ring the bell?
No, because you got 7 points
that's
because
right,
you
because
have
the
hint.
The
crossing
points.
Hint. Yes, fear of crossing a bridge.
Fear of crossing a bridge.
And I always think of the first day I ever... I bought a Jeep Grand Cherokee. It was the first time I'd ever had a car that big. And I went across the Newburgh Bridge over the Hudson into a 50-mile-an-hour quartering headwind. And I have never gotten over that experience.
Well, down at the Sunshine Skyway, isn't it, in Tampa Bay, they have people who will drive you across.
Because
people are terrified of that. It's 4 miles long or something.
Yes. I urge the radio audience, if I've pronounced that incorrectly, and I'm certain that I have, please send something phonetic to me and let me know what it really is.
Gypherophobia?
Try this one, Francine. What might be meant by dishabilophobia?
It's a fear of taking your clothes off.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I'm sorry about that. There's your bell.
But I think it's dishabillophobia.
Dishabillophobia, yes. It's undressing in front of someone, and the hint was Rose Hovick was fortunately spared this.
What?
Gypsy Rose Lee. Or the old Filene's basement communal dressing rooms. This crowd had that experience.
Yes, that's true.
Fear of Filene's.
You know, one time I had a job. I was a sound man for Channel 4, and they sent us down. Why they did this, I don't know. The day they do the bridal gown.
Yeah, sure.
It's a great story.
I saw more naked women that day than I've seen since.
I think they might have been wearing what's known as foundation garments.
Foundation garments. They were wearing foundation. You know, I'm glad I had this chance to discuss foundation garments in front of a large audience. Try this one, Paula. What might you fear if you suffer from ophidiophobia?
Foundation garments.
Not foundation garments.
Spell it.
spell it?
O-P-H-I-D-I-O. Ophidio.
Ophidio.
Ophidiophobia.
Fear you're going to kill your father. Fear you're going to... Ophidio.
Ophidiophobia.
Fear of oafs.
Fear of oafs.
Fear of going to the office.
Yeah.
Fear of...
Definitely Greek.
Ophidiophobia.
Okay. How about that clue?
The clue is well-known Indiana affliction.
Oh, fear of hills or mountains?
Indiana Jones? Ooh. Oh, so it's...
Fear of snakes.
Indiana Jones, fear of snakes?
Fear of snakes is exactly
seven
what
points.
Ah,
oh, okay.
7 points, okay.
Ophidio. That is seven
really?
Points.
Ophidio.
Indiana Jones, of course, the reference. Ophidiophobia is fear of snakes. Wow. And finally, Barry, what might be meant by enisophobia? E-N-I-S-S-O. Enisophobia. I had never heard this.
Enisophobia. Tony?
Well, you know,
make something
far
up.
Be it from me. I'm always afraid, you know, when I get a bouillon cube that I'm going to accidentally swallow the whole thing.
Tony doesn't know.
Maybe not, but that bouillon cube thing keeps me up at night, too.
Francine?
Fear of consummating.
Any idea?
I'm afraid that people are going to discover that I've put a bouillon cube in my chicken soup that they think I've made from scratch. This one, I have no clue on this one.
It's not an M. Emisophobia.
No.
That would be the fear of throwing up.
No. Emisophobia would be a well-grounded fear...
Yeah.
Turned over a slow flame.
Of roots.
Of Philadelphia.
Yeah. Here of Philadelphia.
No, that's cream cheesophobia.
Give us that great clue.
Give us a hint.
You would like the hint?
We would.
We would.
The hint is, might be called Ebertitis.
A well-founded fear of bad movies.
Not of bad movies, no.
Of movies, of the dark, of endings.
Being judged.
Being judged is the classic judge. It's a fear of criticism.
Fear of criticism?
Yeah, that's it. And we'll give you 6 points because it took you a couple of staggers to get there. But we'll give you 6 points for that.
The root of enis?
I never heard of this, and I couldn't find the root. But enisophobia is fear of criticism. So, you know,
sounds like dis.
I don't know.
Is it a hit?
Let's go on to round four, which is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word dipsas.
Dipsas.
D-I-P-S-A-S. Dipsas.
Drinking.
Gentlemen?
Celia, you're breaking my heart. You're shaking my cup, but it's deadly. Oh, Cecilia, I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you, please, to come home.
There are so many ways to enjoy Says You. You can listen each week, as we hope you do. You can download a show if you miss it. You can attend a live performance. And now, there's the book, Says Us, The Scripts and Quips of Says You, Volumes 1 and 2, now available for gifts, for traveling, for holding open the back screen door for the dog. Information about all these items is available at SaysYou.net. That's SAYSYOU. We'll be right back. Here Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available.
That was the Hyannis Sound.
Thank you, gentlemen. It was great. We have had a few moments with the word dipsas. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, dipsas is a snake whose bite makes you thirsty and then later probably dead.
It's a funny snake, yes.
It's a snake whose bite makes you thirsty and then dead.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably.
Okay. I don't think so. As opposed to dead and then thirsty, which would be...
Would be yeah. Make no sense at all.
Okay. Could be that or something else. Francine?
Dipsas is the ancient Greek practice of putting coins on the eyes of the dead.
To put coins on the eyes of the dead... is the dipsas. That's what it is. Could be that. Or, Barry, something else.
Dipsas is the kind of swinging door that is typical of the doors that lead to kitchens. I've heard the food writer Anthony Bourdain use that. I believe he once said, if you're having trouble getting your waiter's attention, go over and kick the dipsas.
So that's what you're going to applaud for, huh? Okay. So, I forget the definition.
It's a swinging door.
Swinging
typical
door.
Of those
that's
that
right.
lead to kitchen.
With the swinging door, like those that lead to a kitchen. Could be that. Could be the coins on the eye, the tradition of the coins on the eye, or the snake whose bite makes you thirsty and then dead. It is one of those three.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The choice, Paula, is yours.
Okay, gang?
Oh, yeah.
You are the captain.
Yeah, but I need to hear from you.
Well,
I mean, we all have heard of that coins on the eyes thing. You don't think that's it, Carolyn?
Well, could be.
It could be.
Okay, could be.
How
about
maybe it
swinging
isn't.
Door?
It could be.
You got any favorites?
Nope.
Okay, she's not here.
All right.
All right.
I don't think it's the snake.
Because that would be too obvious, because dipso is like drink, and so the snake would make you thirsty
and dipsomania, all the more.
And so why would that be obvious and not sort of logical?
Fine.
No, I'm just asking.
Does it sound Greek?
I would go with you.
It does. It does sound Greek, if you remember. I had a friend once, and it was Despina, so I think it sounds a little Greek, but what do I know?
And what's her nickname, Dipsy?
That's a piece of sharp reasoning right. I've ever heard.
They
one.
Put coins on her eyes after she was beaten in the head by a swinging door running away from a snake.
Yeah. All right. How about swinging door?
That's it. Swinging door. Okay, Barry, they have decided. Well, I don't think they have decided.
No, we haven't decided anything.
I think Paul has decided that.
Paul has taken a wild shot.
Paul has taken a wild shot that a dipsass is a swinging door similar to a kitchen door. Is that what it is?
The act of sweet reason failed them once again.
Reason?
No, mine says make something up.
10 points. Good bluff. All right, audience, your turn. What do you think it is? Oh,
the eyes have it.
I think the eyes have it. I think the eyes definitely have it, Francine. Is dipsass the old coins on the eyes?
Dipsass, please make something up.
Yes, you do.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, there you go.
In my family, the custom was to take the coins off of the eyes if we found them.
And put them in your pocket. Because your family wasn't
especially,
Greek.
Especially, the harvest wasn't so good that year. Dipsass, a snake whose bite makes one thirsty. I admit I added, and later probably dead, but it seems to me, you know, that's good enough.
Let's close tonight. Let's celebrate with the help of Don Dowd of Redmond, Washington, who writes, here's another round of magical melody madness that you could use in your Boston Halloween show. From the lyrics provided, please name the magic or Halloween-themed song that contains the following. As always, vocal styling counts.
Of course.
Carolyn?
Yes.
What line follows when there's something strange in the neighborhood?
Oh, that's some Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Wait a minute. Wait, I think we can do much better than that. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Thank you very much. That's 10 points if I ever heard. try this one, Tony. What's the line that follows? You've got to pick up every stitch.
Oh.
The rabbit's running in the ditch.
Must be the season of the witch.
10 points by, of course.
By.
Do you know who does
by,
it? And I'm not sure of this. Is it Donovan?
It's Donovan.
Yeah.
It is Donovan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Donovan.
I wasn't sure of that, but it meant
was that before or after first there was a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is.
Then there is a mountain. It's all off the Sunshine Superman album.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it is? Okay. Try this one, Arnie. What line follows, I've sinned a lot, I mean a lot, but I'm like Sweet 17 a lot.
Be witch bothered and be Mildred. Come on. Beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered.
That's where we go. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. All right, Francine, try this one. Seasonal song that might be called to mind here. What line follows? Raven hair and ruby lips. Sparks fly from her fingertips.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
Barry?
It's a big point here.
Say it again, Richard.
Raven hair and ruby lips, sparks fly from her fingertips.
Sounds like Jezebel.
No.
Who? Then I'm not great at this.
Does the other side don't say
yeah.
The other side?
Oh, yeah, they're very good at this.
I don't know if they know
it's
this.
Not Diana.
We don't have it.
Let's just.
From my absolute favorite group, too.
Don Ho.
Don Ho.
Close.
I think he has a version, actually. I'm not sure. Don Ho.
If you came up with the name of the woman he's talking about, that's what where I was.
Yeah, going. I didn't listen to the radio.
No, raven hair and ruby lips. Yeah. Sparks fly from her fingertips. I got to go to the other side.
Ooh.
witchy woman.
Oh, that's what it is. From the Eagles. All right, try this one, Paula. What line follows, "You've got your spell on me, baby, turning my heart to stone. I need you so badly, I just can't leave you alone."
Not a clue.
Not a clue.
Black Magic Woman.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got your black magic woman.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Black Magic Woman. All right. Nothing resting on this but the whole game, Bear. Oh. What line follows, "In a spin, loving that spin I'm in.
Feeling that old black magic of love."
Close enough. 10 points.
Saved by the bell.
Close enough. That gives you a total of 90 points. And on this week, that is a winning total. Congratulations to Barry's team. Winner this week. I have to say, that was a great game. Even in a losing effort, Paula's team really came through. Great game for Halloween, you guys. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Paula Bonarigo, Brian Barton, and all the folks here at Milton Academy. Thank you for being such great hosts, Milton. Scher and Salkin are the writers. Antonio Oliart mans the meters. And Zachary Moore, Milton Academy, class of 08, is our associate producer and webmaster. From the third graders who inhabit my neighborhood, this question for Halloween: do zombies eat popcorn with their fingers? No, they eat their fingers separately. Thanks for the joke, kids. See you all next week. Says You's All Caravan of Cajolery stops next in Syracuse, New York, November 16th and 17th, for some salty language, a syntactical salute to the Salt City. On Friday, November 16th, we're at the Palace Theater on James, and on Saturday, November 17th, Hendricks Chapel on the University campus. Tickets, information, and details are available at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we promise to show you how to join the fun. So please join us November 16th and 17th for some salty language in Syracuse, a live performance of Says You. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Founded in 1842, Cumberland University has a long history in Middle Tennessee. Today, Cumberland is striving to create community leaders by offering a Master of Science in Public Service Management program. This program prepares future leaders for public service careers at the federal, state, and local level, as well as social service and nonprofit agencies. Classes meet on a schedule designed for working adults. Details at cumberland.edu/MSP.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.